The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Blues. My name is Steve Lippman, joined as by Dan Rapone. Welcome to another episode. Dan, how are you? Happy Thanksgiving. Today's Thanksgiving. Nice to see you.
Yeah, nice to see you too. Happy Thanksgiving. I'm doing pretty well. It's nice to not be setting alarms lately as I get on a bit of a break, so can't complain.
Dan, what's your favorite food at Thanksgiving?
Well, you know I'm terrible about food.
I do.
So, you know, like nice like pineapple stuffing or like...
What?
Or the kugel, because we have a kugel at our Thanksgiving.
Wow.
I don't eat a lot of food.
So, I've never had stuffing before in my life. Never once. Ever. I've never even heard of pineapple
stuffing. I don't think I've had the real stuffing. The pineapple stuffing is like a sweet stuffing. It's like a dessert.
So... a few Thanksgivings ago, I tried to make candied sweet potatoes and it didn't go well. I burned the marshmallow and I was stressed out about it and it was really bad. And, but my mom makes matzo ball soup for like any family gathering. So we will have that with our Thanksgiving meal without a doubt.
Is Kyrie invited this year?
Of course. Well, he never misses a holiday. Absolutely. Yeah. And he loves the matzo ball soup.
He's Jewish, so.
We'll get to him. Well, he's a Semite, you know, so he can't be anti-Semitic. Great. I'm glad we got to him early and often. Friend of the show. All right. We'll hop around here on the show because we have to get to the win of the year for the Sixers, which was over Ben Simmons and the Nets. Now, since we last did a podcast, Joel Embiid is hurt. He has I believe a sprained foot. Was Maxi hurt the last time we did a pod?
Maxi?
No. I don't think he was.
No, he got hurt in the first half of the Bucks game.
He got hurt in the first half of the Bucks game. Right. So the official injuries, Maxi has a small fracture of a bone in his foot, and they say that's 3 to 4 weeks. Joel has a sprained foot. They only officially ruled him out for the two games that just happened, which were the Nets game and the Hornets game. It sounds like it'll be more than that. We don't exactly know how much that'll be, but they'll be cautious with it. But
Doc was talking about him and Harden coming back at the same time, which could be beginning of January. So
beginning of December.
December is what I meant to say.
Both right. Cold, so,
you know.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. But anyway, so I don't know about you. You tell me just on this. When it was going to be just Joel and the other guys against the Nets in Ben's return, I was really, like, not looking forward to it because I didn't want Joel on the court to lose to Ben and the Nets. Like, I was, like, not down for that. I almost wanted them to rest him and just punt the game. And just be like, we'll see you in January when everybody can play. Because I was worried about Joel on the court against Ben and the Nets winning. Not that I'm scared of Ben being particularly good, but just that, like, Durant and fucking the anti-Semite and, like, all of that shit. Like, I don't need that. And I don't need Joel on the court for that. So when they said Joel was out, of course, the first thing I want is him to be okay, just, like, in general for the season. But the next thing I'm thinking is, like, all right, great. Forget the game. They'll lose the game. And we'll just move on. They'll boo Ben, but then, like, it'll just be a wash. So, like, what was your thinking in terms of that? Like, did you think that – did you want, you know, Joel to – you know, now they just sort of – they're very competitive whenever Joel plays. So were you not thinking that way?
Yeah, I wasn't really thinking that way. I mean, I read your piece today, good as always, but I'm not sure I agreed on the on that mindset, just because, you know, I was looking forward to, and Claxton ended up playing, but there was, you know, a point before the game where the thought was Joel was going to play. We didn't know about this injury, and there was Claxton might be out.
Oh, and, yeah, that would have been fun, right?
If he had been, it was going to be Ben as starting center. And really, I mean, we've talked about this for a while, but we saw it in the second half of that game. Ben at the five really doesn't work. I mean, obviously, he doesn't fit well with Claxton on offense because they're both, you know, non-shooters. But defensively, you know, you're not maximizing Ben's best skill when you put him at the five, which is perimeter defense. He's not a good interior defender. He's not that good of a rebounder for a center. He's just a bad rebounder, and he's outsized there, and he's not overly physical to make up for it. So I thought it would have been really fun to see Embiid go against him at center, and you know, obviously they would have sent a ton of help, but I thought that would have been entertaining. But it was still, yeah. I mean, I thought they didn't have a great chance to win the game. I mean, you never know, but it obviously didn't seem like a game they should win, except for the fact that the Nets' effort continues to be dog shit. And they were able to win. And, you know, one thing I've really liked from these last few games, you know, I would say every game this week, I mean, they went 2-2, but really every game this week is that you're seeing, and, you know, I talked about this a few weeks ago for a reason. I was very down on the team. You're seeing the team, A, locked in defensively, and B, really giving a lot of effort. And, like, that extends to, you know, the role guys. Joel was making more of an effort to, you know, kind of show, I think, more engagement, you know, not show when he's down. And I hope that continues because that's really going to help the team. So I, you know, 2-2 week, but, you know, I thought there were some encouraging things. And you know, I would have liked to see Joel get to go against, you know, those Nets teams, but it just makes it all the funnier that we won without, you know, our three best players. And really, you know, Tobias, you know, we thought he was going to be out too because he got, you know, he hurt his ankle and he ended up coming back in. But it was almost like without our four best players, and Tobias was able to come back, he played well, and a lot of guys played well. But it was just kind of a funny thing.
It was so great. I love that game so much. I mean, I really thought, especially when Joel went out, that they were going to get beaten by a lot. And you know, the crowd reaction, I don't think was that great because that was the thing, like the three best guys are out, like there's no Joel to get them into it, there's no Maxi who everybody adores, like there's no Harden, you know. Yeah, I just think the game didn't have the teeth at the beginning, and then when they were really into it as it got closer to halftime, it was like, wow, we can actually win. And of course they fucking hate Ben. You know, I wanted to he got them chicken. It'll never not be the funniest thing in the world that Ben did a shrug to the crowd after he made two free throws. Tremendous.
He shushed him after he missed a layup and beat the putback.
Yes. Excellent. Excellent. Just lack of self-awareness.
I have to say, you know, the broadcast was pissing me off. Well, first of all, I love Candace Parker. I do. This isn't about her. Stan Van Gundy is so damn annoying. And talk to be, you know, in a game that the Sixers are not supposed to be in, that they're dead in, like have the lead in. And he's talking about, oh, you know, the crowd, this is a bad night in terms of booze for the crowd. Like, dude, shut up. Like, that's not what the game is about. Can we talk about the basketball game? And like, you know, I've talked about it, right? Like I talked about it because I went to the home opener and like, it was a little dead in there. And I think, you know, maybe there's not great energy around the Sixers right now. And that's kind of something they have to earn back, right? Because I you know, like I said, I've said on previous pods, like the effort has not been there with this team. The showing you care has not been there with this team. I actually think it's getting there. But you have to kind of, I think you have to earn that back. You have to earn the fans' passion back. But who cares, dude? Like, it's not even Ben's true first game back. It's his first game playing, but he's been back in this arena. He's been booed here. Like, we're playing without our three best players. Like, it's just not the point of the game. It was so annoying to, like, and you know, if it had become the whole theme of the game is that Ben got such a, you know, nasty reception, then it would have been everyone else saying, like, oh, those Phillies fans, you know, the Philly fans are so, you know, they don't understand mental health. They're just a bunch of jerks. They don't know what Ben's been through. They bullied him. They pushed him out. Like, it's just a no-win situation. I'm so right. The broadcast should not have, unless something like really crazy is happening, the broadcast should be able to just talk about the game and shouldn't have to comment on whether they think the boos are up to par. Like, come on.
You know, there was a lot of key contributors for the Sixers. Bevall Paul, tremendous, excellent game. George Niang, I love him so much. He sends an elbow into Ben's rib cage. Great. Ben certainly embellished it, but and then, you know, after Ben splits the free throws, they're yelling at each other. I thought that was great.
He was in Durant's face the whole game.
In Durant's face. I mean, George, I mean, the guy's just fucking relentless. I love him. Anthony Melton's so good. I mean, he's so good every game, and he stepped up so much with the guys out in the backcourt. Shake has totally found it and has been really impressive. You know, we'll see what happens when he goes back to coming off the bench, but he's been great. And you mentioned just a huge second half from Tobias, who I thought was terrible in the first half and completely missing in action, but he made huge shots in the second
half. Some classic Tobias missed layups in the first half.
Right.
And really came back and looked good.
PJ Tucker's defense was awesome in this game on Durant. And then whenever he was switched onto Irving, he was great. Couldn't make a shot, but you know what? Against the Hornets, absolutely lit it up, babe. He splashed a corner three, and that is good for 3 points. So he blew the doors off the over-under of zero. So
his first 3 points in the last five games.
Happy absolutely ball. Lighting it up, PJ Tucker. So it was a tremendous win to just send Ben and the Nets home in a game that they just had no business losing. And it just sort of illustrates how soulless and gross they are. And I did want to tell the fans, like, you know, the booing Ben is very deserved and great, but just don't forget to boo Kyrie as well. Because, like, you know, they're, you know, while we're at it, you know, there's somebody else there who certainly deserves the boos. So
I think someone who much more deserves the boos.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Because of fandom is much less going to get them.
I know. He's less top of mind because it's less Philadelphia centric, but
but a way worse person.
Way worse, you know, big time. All right. Anything else from Brooklyn before we get to anything that we have for Charlotte?
No, I mean, I think I think we covered most of it. I mean, great, great win, really. I mean, what a win.
Paul having such a good game that he was just like, I don't know, I'll try to dribble some and try to score this layup. And then it was just like, no,
we went 2-2 this week, like we said, but the two wins really were two of the bigger wins of the season so far. It was really enjoyable wins. Games that, you know, with the guys out, but the teams we were playing really didn't felt like we had business winning. And I think, you know, it was great to see our bench guys step up, but you know, the Nets game maybe feels a bit more about the Nets. They're so, they're such a mess. The Bucks win, I thought, you know, with Joel there, obviously, you know, still no Middleton, still no Harden for us. And then, you know, no Maxey in the second half. But I thought, you know, Joel played really well. The defense on Giannis was really good, just like the team defense. And that one I thought was more, wow, the Sixers looked really good. Like, like we're really going in the right direction, more so than the Nets game. I enjoyed them both a ton. Two great wins, but that Bucks game was a lot of fun.
That I thought that was a really enjoyable game. You know, Lopez is a great defender and gets Joel a lot of trouble, but Joel just made really big shots down the stretch and great passes down the stretch too, which is really hard to do.
I mean, he had another, what, 7 or 8 assists again? Like,
yeah, and just playing really under control and smart basketball. And I think that was another really good Melton game. And, you know, just to beat that Bucks team with Giannis and Holiday and Lopez, and that was a great win. And we might as well do it now. After the game, how do we get into this? So part of the story of that game is that Giannis shot like shit from the free throw line. Now, this game was played in Philadelphia. After the game, Giannis decides that he wants to get in work at the free throw line and work on his on his free throws.
He was like, I didn't miss enough to know. Let me go miss some more.
Right. And a lot of clips are going around, but his first handful of free throws that he was attempting alone after the game were like air balls. And people, drunk Philadelphians, are screaming at him about how much he's airballing these free throws. So I think that adds to his frustration. So Montrezl Harrell, in his true only role on this team, what it should be, comes out and he's like, I don't fucking like this guy warming up, like getting work in on our court. I don't like him. And he, tell me if I'm getting the chronology of this wrong at all, but he comes up and Giannis is shooting. He's yelling at him. He makes a shot and he just takes the ball from out there and he tells him, get the fuck off the court. Get off the court. I don't like it. Get out of here. And Giannis is like, can I have the ball back? And apparently Giannis is saying, we can shoot together. Montrez is like, I don't think you understand. I don't fucking like you. I want you to leave and get off the court. So Montrez goes to the other end of the court. Giannis goes into the locker room and is upset. Montrez is shooting with a Sixers assistant coach. Giannis comes back out. He found a basketball. He might have gone to Modell's, but he got a basketball. He comes back out. And at this point, there's a ladder underneath the basketball court because a couple fellas are trying to take down the cameras so that they can go home to their families and move on with their lives because there's cameras on top of the...
Because it's Friday night.
It's a Shabbat. Come on. And they're trying to go home. And Giannis goes, I was just here. I was shooting. I'm rather recognizable. I was shooting. I went to get another basketball. This guy with the dreadlocks took my basketball. He has it over there. But I'd like to go back to shooting. And they go, no, I have to get home. And he pushes the ladder out of the way. They go, no. And they put it back. Ballsy. Ballsy move. That was my favorite part. He pushes it like a foot out of the way and the guys go, nah, we have to do this. And then they put it right back. I love it. And then Giannis shoves it with all his might and it smashes on the ground. I saw somebody's tweet, I wish I remembered it, who said, I would have ran underneath that ladder so quick to like get a lawsuit and sue him for all he's worth. It's great. And then Giannis resumes shooting free throws. At some point, Giannis's brother, who they gave a roster spot to, comes out.
Thanasis.
Right. And talks to Montrez. And Montrez tells him pretty sternly, I'll beat the shit out of you. Thanasis wanted to like talk through it. And Montrez was like, hey, buddy, I'm in no mood. I'll fuck you up right now. You know, both guys think they're right, of course. And Giannis said that he just wanted to get work in and they were not being accommodating to him and it's no big deal and he didn't do anything wrong. Montrez tweeted after the game, A, make sure you get the complete story. I asked the man, can he get off the court so I can work out? They had to change the court over, so he ignored me. So, hey, that's what you get. Respect is respect. Good night. They did have to change a court over because they did like the city edition court for the Minnesota game the following night. I absolutely adore this whole thing top to bottom. I wouldn't change a word of it. I think everybody acted in the exact way I would have wanted them to act, and I wouldn't change it at all. It's such a long season, and it has been mostly a horrible year in every possible way, and I loved it completely. What did you think?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it was like Harold pushing Giannis's buttons a bit. Obviously, not necessary. Kind of funny, whatever. I think that when it's two NBA guys like going at it, that's one thing. Like Montrez trying to piss him off, you know. I think Giannis acting poorly towards the stadium workers is very like unbecoming. Like he likes to portray, I mean, and listen, everyone has bad moments. I'm not saying that this makes him a bad person or anything. This is a bad moment for him. Like, you know, he portrays himself as this very, you know, amicable guy. And, you know, he, is that a word? Amiable?
Yeah.
Amiable.
There's that too.
Amicable.
You know what? We do have a fill-in guest here. Can we have the unnamed person look up this issue here?
English is my second language, so I'm going to refer to Google.
English is barely her second language. She loves that excuse when she doesn't know stuff. Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I don't know.
Should we name this person, or do we think we?
Yeah, this is Andrea. This is the girl.
This is the
girl. Amicable. Right. It's amicable. So yeah, well, I mean, what do I know? I don't know stuff. Plus, I mean, come on, give me a break. It's late. And you know, I think he is likable in some ways, but you know, not a good moment. Like the stadium workers, I'm sure, just wanted to go home. They're just trying to do their job. The stadium isn't even owned by the Sixers, which I think is a funny part of it. It's not like the Sixers weren't, you know, letting him work out after the game. Like the Sixers rent the arena. Like they don't own it. So it's not even a Sixers thing. And you know, it was a bad look. You shoved the ladder down and someone could have gotten hurt, and it was poor treatment of the stadium workers. You know, I'm not gonna make it something bigger than it is. Like I'm not saying he's a bad guy or anything, but it was a bad moment for him. And he was obviously, people don't want to acknowledge it, but he was definitely in the wrong there.
Alan Horowitz had Pilates scheduled at midnight, so they really had to get out of there soon. All right. Why don't we go to a break now? And just, you know, Montrez, that's what you do, buddy. Just get in fights and annoy people on the other team from the sidelines or after the game. It's wonderful. That's what I need from you.
Okay. Before we go to a break, can I just say,
please?
Amicable and amiable seem to mean almost the same thing.
Okay. Well, listen, it's no problem with me. Just don't take it out on staff here. We're going to go to a break. And when we come back, we've got more to discuss. Here's a break.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out. Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries.
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
Beloved brands know customer relationships are everything. That's why over 130,000 trust Klaviyo to power smarter digital relationships across their websites, emails, SMS, and reviews. And now, there's Klaviyo AI, your guide to smarter insights, decisions, work, and results. Brands like Everyman Jack trust Klaviyo AI to personalize product recommendations that keep customers coming back. Discover Klaviyo AI at klaviyo.com/box. That's klaviyo.com/box.
And we're back. So Sixers played Charlotte, second night of back-to-back. I think they just sort of ran out of juice at the end there. The legs were tired after the Brooklyn win. Obviously, sort of a letdown after such an emotional game there. Dan?
Okay, so it seems amicable is more to refer to situations.
Yep.
You know, like there was like the situation turned out peacefully. It was amicable. Whereas amiable is like a person who is friendly or agreeable. So I meant amiable. Mm-hmm. Anyway, continue with the real stuff.
Do you want to do any more on that or no? Are we good?
I think that's it.
Okay. All right. Are you sure?
Never sure. I mean, how much can you be sure of anything, really?
All right. So we got amicable, we got amiable. Giannis, people think he's amiable. This is an amicable situation.
That situation post-game is not amicable.
No.
And he was not being amiable.
All right. So keep it together. This is really an Emily department. I feel like Emily would dive deep on these words.
Emily probably would have known it and then would have made fun of us for not knowing.
Think like the lamb sheep.
Yeah, it's just like the lamb and sheep.
You know what? She might listen to this, though.
She might.
Because I was going to say next week we can quiz her on this. All right.
She'll listen.
I digress. They lost to Charlotte. Ran out of gas there. I don't really sweat much about this loss. I thought that these would be reversed here, that they would lose to Brooklyn and beat Charlotte, but they split these games without Joel and the other guys, and I've got no problem with it. What do you think?
The traveling back-to-back is tough. Like,
really tough.
You know, to have to travel from Philly to Charlotte, and you know, they got off to a good start. They got worn down. They were without their three best players. I mean, they're on a short rotation. It's really nothing to – I mean, a win is a win, and the win would have been nice in the standings, but, you know, I actually was really happy with the effort, and they got a little sloppy at the end, but it's kind of to be expected when you're playing shorthanded without your best players on the traveling back-to-back. Like, it's nothing to worry about. I thought, really, like, more than anything, I was just really happy with the effort tonight, given the circumstances.
Yeah, Furkan back out there. They really – they knocked the dust off Furkan. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I like it. I mean, I think he does provide something, you know, in the limited minutes he's had the last couple games with this team where it's at, with the guys who are out. I mean, they're missing, you know, players who can like reliably handle the ball. And Furkan's not going to, you know, cross anyone up really, but he's a pretty stable ball handler. He doesn't lose the ball a ton. Like, he's not going to have it taken from him. So just a guy who can, you know, bring the ball up the court against pressure. I thought he was pretty helpful in that regard.
Matisse is out now too. He only played 5 minutes in his last two appearances because of this ankle thing. So I think that they're trying to also give him some time off.
Yeah.
There's also that issue that I think he's still nursing. So they're trying to really get a handle on that as well. Speaking of Matisse, there was an article from Shams where within it he said that the Sixers are gauging the market on Tobias Harris in their calls around the league in advance of the December 15th, you know, guys who signed this summer can be traded again. You'll remember last year with Ben, it was like, you know, that date is coming up where guys who signed this summer can be traded. That date came, nothing happened. What do you think with the hot stove percolating on the Tobias Harris trade front? Do you think there's any chance he gets traded this year?
I mean, I guess there's some. I think his contract isn't the disaster it once was, because as you get towards the trade deadline and, you know, when, you know, the recently signed players are trade eligible, you have a handful of teams who, I mean, you already do with Wembanyama coming out, but in a handful of teams who know they're not competing this year, who, you know, the Sixers have like a first round pick to offer. And you know, they're not going to use him in a salary dump, but if they can get something back with his salary, they'll, you know, try to do that. And his contract really isn't the disaster it once was, because, you know, if you're not competing this year, you take him on for the rest of the year. And as you get to, you know, this upcoming off season, you really turn him into assets, because he's an expiring. If you're in the market to take on an expiring, his salary, or, you know, no, I'm sorry, to take on a bad contract for picks, if you're really deep in a rebuild, his contract's already probably going to match what looks like a bad contract, you know, with like the, you know, obviously we've had a lot of bad contracts the last, you know, few years, and, you know, Russ is going to be expiring, so it won't be him, but, you know, guys always come up, whether it's a guy getting hurt or a guy falling off as the year goes on, like plenty of contracts that you think are fine end up looking bad. And Tobias's won't really look bad as you know, if you're not even worried about the rest of the series, you take him on, and then all of a sudden, yeah, he's a big contract, but he's expiring. So I think that it's probably a pretty stomachable contract for a lot of teams in a way it hasn't been in the past. So I wouldn't be shocked if he were traded, but you know, the Sixers are at a win now point right now, and they're not going to, you know, try to dump him during the season. So, and they don't have a lot of assets to both get off his contract and then use getting off of that contract to take on someone else's salary, which will also require, you know, some picks or some kind of trade assets. They don't have a lot of that to go around. So I think it's unlikely, but the fact you're hearing about it at all probably suggests that there's maybe something that could happen, because why else would this be talked about? You know, if you're saying, oh, in 2 months, maybe Tobias is going to get traded, like the team gains nothing from putting that out there. And if it's not something that's maybe likelier than I think it is, or we think it is, like, I can't see it getting out there, because what's the point? So, yeah, I mean, because I mean, I feel like you look at leaks, right? Like they're either, you know, they either have some truth or they help the team, or both. Like, this doesn't help the team.
Right. So
I'm guessing there's some truth to it. Like, if someone from the team is putting this out there, like, maybe there's something there.
Well, I mean, of course they're calling around on him. I'm sure they'd love to upgrade that spot and move the contract, but it's like, it's hard to find a deal that makes sense, because they're not going to pay to get off of him, because he's not harmful, you know, really. But it's just that his skill set doesn't make the most sense in that spot, especially now that they have PJ. So I'm sure they'd love to trade him, but I guess I'd still be surprised, you know, if they can find something. Kyle Newbeck, you know, backed it up on that and just sort of said that essentially that they would trade him, but doesn't anticipate sort of anything substantive necessarily. You know, just depending on, you know, it just depends on what's out there. He said he's been told there is interest, there has been some interest in Matisse Thybul in preliminary discussions around the league, and I'd expect him to be a rumor mill fixture up until the deadline. Thoughts on that? One name that popped up today from Jake Fisher is Sadiq Bey. He said that Bey could be available. The Pistons are really bad and might just want to bottom out here, and he's coming up for a contract. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think he'd be a helpful piece. If they could get him, that would be nice. I'm sure there would be a lot of contenders that are interested in him. So, you know, it ends up being, is someone going to overpay? The Sixers really can't overpay. Right? They even lost, you know, two of their second round picks recently. Like, they don't have a lot of overpaying to offer.
Right.
What was the first half of your question? Was that about Matisse being available?
Right. And Matisse apparently has interest on the market.
Yeah. Great. Get him out.
Great. All right. I think that right now, why don't we go ahead? It's a holiday. Let's get to our predictions for next
week. Can I toss one more thing out there?
Dan, I would love it.
One quick thing.
Go ahead.
I would consider, you play around with it, when everyone's back and healthy, starting Melton and bringing Maxi off the bench. Not limiting Maxi's minutes. I still want him playing a lot of minutes. He's very helpful as a scorer. I don't think this will happen, but I think they really benefit from Melton's defense. Maxi is not a good defender, and I think we overlooked that because he's adorable and he is good at other things. But next to Harden, is really helpful to have a defender out there, and I think, you know, we struggle with bench scoring as is. Maxi could be really helpful with that. He could still have minutes next to Harden, but not be like the primary guy next to him in the guard spot. Something I think is worth playing around with at least. And I'd also like to see some some three guard lineups, whether it's Harden, Milton, Melton, Harden, Maxi, Melton, with Tucker or Harris at the four and Embiid at the five. I think, you know, especially with Tucker at the four, because I think he's a better rebounder, and you kind of get the, and especially what they've been doing on defense with having, you know, kind of rotating Embiid to be on whoever is in the lane instead of having him, you know, dragged out to the perimeter. I think they've done a better job of that, keeping him in the lane, and it's helped them with rebounding. So I think that's a luxury you have with that lineup that's worth exploring. I think Melton's got to be a bigger part because his defense is something that I think the starting line has been missing a bit.
So honestly, even just starting the three guards, I don't know if they're too small on the perimeter and fucking having Harris come off the bench and create offense. And just have Tucker, you know, because then Tucker's 6'5", too. You know, like, I don't know if that's too little. I think that your point is probably not insane, you know, about, you know, because the issue is...
I want to say, I love Maxi. I want to hear what you have to say. I don't mean to, like, interrupt, but, like, I love Maxi. This is not me hating on Maxi. I just think maybe he, in the same amount of minutes, could be with different lineups.
Yeah, I think that... Because when you talk about the starting lineup, you're talking about also the closing lineup. So then it gets a little...
Some games. I'm not saying Maxi should never close, but I think it depends. Like, is he on that night? Like, Maxi...
Well, or Harris shouldn't close. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, Maxi's been a little streaky this year, like, yeah. Offensively. Defensively, like, let's be honest, he's really not giving you a lot. I love Maxi. He's great value for where they got him on his contract. I love what he brings to the team. I love his attitude. Love everything about him, but he's limited defensively. Like, if his shot's not going in, I do want to see Melton in the closing lineup. Now, if Maxi's hot, then you talk about taking a different guy who's out of the lineup, you know, who's not hot out of the lineup if Melton's hitting shots that night. I just think Melton needs to be a bigger part of the guard rotation. He needs a bigger share of these minutes. It can't always be Maxi, Harden, you know, in these big spots, because I think Melton is good enough and his defense makes a big enough difference that you have Harden, you have Embiid, you have the scoring. Right now, they have the top, you know, defense in the East. They've had the top defense since their 1-4 start in the entire league. Like, let's do what we can to keep that up. Like, this, the Celtics made the finals on that identity of just being a great defensive team and getting scoring where they can from their stars. Like, I think the Sixers have that option, and they can't have, you know, they can't have their lineups be strictly all offense. Like, they have the defenders to work into the closing lineup if some of their better offensive players aren't hitting shots that night. And I think it's something we need to look into.
Yeah, I think that it's not a terrible idea. I don't, you know, part of me wonders, you know, I look at that change and I'm like, I kind of end up saying, why are we accommodating Harris? Like, what is Harris doing? Because Harris isn't a defender I care about, and he's also not doing enough for the offense that I care.
He's a much better defender than Maxi. He's a much better.
But he falls asleep on. Yeah. He falls asleep off ball constantly.
He does. No, he does. He does. But
I guess what I'm saying is when you're locked in at the end of games, he's so much more of a positive on offense. You know what I mean?
He is. But at the end of, and listen, I don't want this to turn into anything bad about Maxi. I just think you need to experiment with possibly closing some games without Maxi, possibly starting some game with, I'm not saying Maxi shouldn't be playing at least 30 minutes a night. I'm not saying that at all. He should be, but with that specific lineup, like, I'd like to see Maxi carry some other lineups in exchange for having more defense when Harden and Embiid are both on the floor, because more defense and more rebounding. Melton's a really good rebounder for a guard in a way Maxi's not.
Oh yeah.
And I think that could benefit that lineup more of what they need, more of what they're lacking, and let Maxi carry elsewhere, where you have these lineups when only one of Harden or Embiid are on the floor, or if they're both off because Doc Rivers is the coach. And, like, Maxi can be really, really helpful in those lineups. Like, let him cook in those lineups.
Well, the thing about Melton, he always is making these, like, little winning plays. Like, he's tapping a ball to a Sixer, or he's, like, going up for a huge defensive rebound and kicking it out. Like, he's just, he's everything that it seems like they haven't had these last few years. Him and PJ, and those, you know, PJ obviously defensively and offensive rebounds. So they definitely need more of him, and he can't be relegated minutes wise when those, when they have the full complement of everybody. So I think it's a great point. And, you know, the Maxi Harden pairing defensively is something that's an issue. So especially when they play Boston or when they play.
Right. I mean, Boston's starting Jaylen Brown at the two, basically.
Right. You know, the other best teams in the league. So Milwaukee, certainly, you know, so they have to be cognizant of that. Now, Melton's shooting really well right now. That won't last forever, but I'm confident that he's going to continue to like make those plays that just make the team better. So,
and I think, you know, I mentioned Boston earlier, but like some of the things that, and hope you, you know, that you hope Tucker does. I mean, offensively, he's been kind of bizarre lately. Like obviously he has barely scored, and he actually missed a bunch of bunnies against Brooklyn. But I think one thing Melton brings, and obviously they play completely different positions, but the kind of like Grant Williams, what he brings to Boston, obviously at forward instead of at the guard, is like, he's going to make those winning plays. He's always hustling. He's a good defender. He's a switchable defender. And, you know, you're not going to force the ball to him and have him take contested shots, but he can hit the open three and, you know, maybe hit a tough shot at the end of the shot clock if needed. And Melton brings a lot of that at the guard spot. And like, those are the winning players that we hadn't really had. And like, exactly. I like that he brings that alongside some of our better players, because I think, you know, that is what you need around your stars. And that's why, you know, you look at the finals teams last year and the role players they've had around their stars, and, you know, they can make those plays.
Well, I do think this is why people were so bullish on the offseason that that Daryl had.
Yeah.
He went out and got Melton. He went out and got Tucker, obviously.
And Melton wasn't on anyone's radar. That was,
no. You know, House, obviously, to a lesser extent. I still believe in him giving them solid minutes, but he's less consistent than those guys. But anyway, I think it's a good point and something to watch out for, just that they need to prioritize him. And I know that there are people that think like starting, quote unquote, is less important than like what lineups play minutes. And maybe that's true, but I just think like, you know, who's playing the most minutes together and closing and all of that kind of stuff is really going to matter. So Melton has to be really involved. So, all right, predictions, and we don't know standings. Emily's not here. There's nothing we can do about it.
It's impossible to know.
There's no way to scientifically find it out.
I will say I do know the standings.
You do?
Yeah.
How?
Because Emily and I each went 2-2 this week. So we're both 11-11, I want to say.
How do you know this?
We were 9-9. So now we're 11-11. Or how many games have they played? Andrea the Helper is right. Emma and I were both 7-7. Now we're 9-9. And you picked up a game on us because you had them. We had all the same picks, but you had them winning the Bucks game. You had them 4-0. We had them 3-1, losing to the Bucks. So you were 3 games back. So now you are 2 games back. So you're 7-11. Is that right? That is what I think the standings are.
I don't know. I was going to say I don't know at all. Sounds a little odd to me. I think we're all tied.
That's not it.
All right, we're moving on. The day after Thanksgiving, Sixers this week play. They have games against the Magic, and then the Magic again. They have 2 on the road against the Magic. The second Magic game is the start of back to back. It's on the road against the Magic and then at home against Atlanta. Why would they do that? Stupid.
And then, I don't know, Wendy, why would they?
Yeah, right. And then Wednesday, the last game in November. So the guys might be getting worried at that point about how cold it's going to get in December. They play on the road in Cleveland against the Cavaliers. All right, so let's backtrack. This week they have four games. Three of them are on the road, but two of that is a back-to-back. How can I say this more complicated? First game, Orlando on the road. Second game, Orlando on the road. Third game,
Atlanta. You are the worst schedule leader of anyone. Even on the rare occasion you get it right, you're so confused.
Atlanta at home, but that baby was a back-to-back. And then finally, Cleveland on the road. So what do you pick? I have Emily's picks.
Do you want to share Emily's picks first since she's not here?
Emily's picks were win, loss, win, win. So she has us winning the first Orlando game, losing the second Orlando game, and then beating the Hawks and the Cavs. What do you got?
All right. I'm going to say we lose the first Orlando game, win the second Orlando game, lose to the Hawks, lose to the Cavs. There's too many guys out right now. Orlando is good enough that we should split, and I think the Hawks and Cavs are good enough that we probably don't take those games.
Okay, so you've got a 1-3 week.
I have loss, win, loss, loss. So I think I have the inverse of Emily.
Is that right?
I think I have Emily and I, who are tied for first, picked all four games opposite this week, I believe.
Yeah, so you have loss, win, loss, loss. Yeah, you do have that. All right, I'm going to say they're definitely losing one of these Orlando games later. They're going to win the first Orlando game. They're going to lose the second one. So Emily and I are aligned on that. And then they're going to.
You take your time here.
Be amiable. Then they're going to win the
Hawks
game and win the Cavs game. I'm with Emily.
All right.
This has been another rollicking episode of Guest Rancheritis Blues. All I can say at this point is I wish you and everyone else a very happy Thanksgiving. Be kind to one another. Don't watch that fucking documentary that Kyrie said to watch. And take care. Dan, Andrea, have a nice time out there at PJ's. Anything else?
Happy Thanksgiving, buddy.
Gesho Blues Pod, Dan's secret account.
We don't share that.
Steve J. Littman, Third and Girl, DA Pelts 13.
On YouTube, Gesho Blues Pod, a Sixers podcast, I think, something like that.
That's it.
Drew's always putting out good stuff on there. You're really missing out if you're not.
Always. Be safe and be great. We love you. Goodbye.
See ya. I love you so, yeah, and I never